Welcome to the Rabbit Hole, episode 92.
Oh.
Yes, we're reaching 92 now.
Wow.
With a neuroscience topic.
Cool. Welcome to this Making Connections episode of Rabbit Hole. If you're listening to this on audio, why not go across to YouTube, search for Rabbit Hole Origins, and check out this episode.
Yes, or they can also click, if you are in audio, in the show notes, the link directly to this episode.
There's no escape.
Let's check the episode of today.
Neuroscience.
And today we have Making Connections
as a title for today's
episode.
I mean, there's a lot of attention in the media around kind of implant stuff.
Yes.
And obviously that fella who makes the electric cars.
And spaceships.
I'll not mention his name. He shall remain nameless. But he's sucking all the oxygen out the room with his Neuralink company.
Yeah, but it's not really
the reality
of other people doing even more advanced things.
There are several other more advanced research efforts to do with obviously turning us into cyborgs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Resistance is future.
Sorry, rich cyborg people. Sorry.
Then
I forgot to mention the billions required.
Then we won't be assimilated.
Exactly. So the thing is, there's other interesting stuff going on out there, and we thought we'd cover a couple.
Yes.
Because they're both taking really quite innovative approaches.
Like really innovative, totally different compared to what we have seen actually from this person and his company. So it's really different. It's actually, I believe, better direction in the way of implementing.
Well, if we just kind of dive into it. So the first...
Let's check it, yeah.
The first work is from... Swedish researchers at the led by Professor Magnus Berggren, and they're at the Linköping University. Sweden, right?
Sweden.
So it's the Laboratory of Organic Electronics. So a little bit of a clue there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything at all about implants, and clearly we don't, but that's not going to stop us talking about it.
For sure, no.
Because we never let lack of knowledge get in the way of a discussion, do we?
We like to acquire knowledge. So.
Exactly. And share our acquiring.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, one of the things that they have to do when they're considering implants, all these implants require connection to neurons or whatever, neurons in the brain or other sites in the brain, but I think neurons is the...
Yes, is the let's thing. Say you tap into the network.
Yeah, tap into the network. Now, unfortunately, there are no connectors in the brain. Major oversight.
As of yet.
Major oversight. But currently, when you look at like what that electric car manufacturer, his company...
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a picture of their implant. I wouldn't let that anywhere near my...
No, and I was telling you, if I would have that kind of implant and suddenly you don't pay attention and you knock your head in the door, there goes your implant. Tuck!
Yeah.
Right?
We're saying that because we have a low door in the studio and we're forever cracking
our
heads on
it. We always have to, you know, pass like this.
Always cracking our heads on it. So the thing about all of these current implants is they use these very fine wires.
Mm-hmm.
They're effectively conductors, obviously.
It's conductors, yes.
And they, although I think, no, I think they are conductors. Let's not get into that. And they have to be very precisely placed, obviously. Because although we all have, generally speaking, the same functions in the same places in the brain, everybody's brain's different. And the neurons, obviously, are not... Your neurons for speech are not exactly in the same place,
in the exact same position,
or
yes,
as many, or whatever.
Maybe in an area, in a region that directs speech or conducts speech, but it's not necessarily always in the same spot.
It's not a match,
a precision match.
So they have to make these very precise connections, and it's tricky because they can move and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, these guys at the Organic Electronics Lab at Linköping University, they took a different approach, and they. And there's the other point, which is obviously these metal connectors are not biocompatible.
No, it's a foreign body.
Yeah, they could cause other issues, right? So these guys took a different idea. They created a gel, an injectable gel, that can be precisely placed in whatever area of the brain, or that is the intention.
Yeah.
And the gel, when it goes in, is effectively inert, but once the gel is in position, it actually reacts to the environment that it's in a known way, and it turns into a conductor.
A conductor.
But it's organically compatible.
Yes, it's not, in all the tests being made, it has never been rejected.
Yeah.
It's, nor by your immune system or the tissue, basically.
Yeah.
Now, that's why we see now this image in the screen where you see, you know, all these kind of illuminated, gelish.
Yeah, artist rendering.
Yes, but you know what I found super interesting about this gel that they have developed, actually? Mm. This could lead not only for neural implants to get better in functions, but maybe even to bridge, for example, for people that have
paralyzed,
multiple sclerosis, for example, that they get the scar tissue in the brain for the myelin affected by their immunitary system. What about creating connections that would bridge those scars for proper or better function of the brain going forward? I think that...
Yeah, you can see.
I'm not, like we said, always, we're not experts, but honestly, that seems like an application of this other application, which is the implants,
that is
to use in another area as well.
I had the exact same kind of thinking that it's one of those ideas, and it does work. They've had success in non-human trials where they've been able to make specific connections where they wanted to, and the electrodes correctly formed and blah, blah, blah. But it struck me, as we were talking about this before the recording, that it struck me as one of those kind of, it's almost like we're getting an early glimpse of something that in the future is really going to be something, you know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, I've read other stuff about how they can use one of the other technologies around this kind of stuff is that you can have a metallic, some kind of metallic node or probe or whatever that can be injected, and it can then be moved around to the correct place inside the brain from the outside using magnets.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you could imagine that with this, maybe they don't even have to target it precisely, but they could make it so that it could then be just moved the last little bit using magnetic fields or whatever, and also for you know, where they do these things with locked-in syndrome patients where they tap into muscle signals that allow them to control a mouse or a keyboard. You can imagine maybe they could use this or the next technology we're going to talk about to do that in a like minimally invasive way.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that this gel, the moment it's injected in the body, it just basically starts to work.
Yeah.
It activates. You do not, they manage, these Swedish scientists, to not need an external
power
to activate it and make it work.
It just activates
it just
itself.
Does.
So it's tuned to the environment that it's injected into, and like the environment is actually part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the catalyst.
Exactly.
A bit like mixing epoxy glue where you have the two components, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's that kind of thing, isn't it?
I think that this approach is literally one of the best approaches you could have for this kind of development.
I mean, it's obviously super novel, and obviously the gel isn't electronics, but obviously it forms the electrodes required to make connections.
Yeah, because it do creates those connectors.
Yeah, it's making connectors, which is pretty amazing.
It's amazing, yeah. I think.
So, yeah.
And the next one, right?
Yeah. Just, again, we're not scientists, right?
No, but...
We're gentlemen scientists.
For example, this next one.
This is the next one.
Look at that image first.
Yeah.
And that's totally different from...
And that's the back of his head, Bono.
Yes. I guess it's
that wasn't obvious. A privacy screen.
But, for example, compared to the other images we saw of the neural implant, this is just amazing.
But again, this is as much a replacement for, you know, those diagnostic things where they put the caps on. You
sensors,
know,
yeah.
All
yeah.
the sensors on there, mm-hmm. and you have to lie still, and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Apparently the problem these people are trying to solve, and these are from the Graz University of Technology
yes.
in Austria, in Styria, Austria. And the problem they're trying to solve is that a lot of work that we need, or they need to do, or scientists need to do, or diagnosticians need to do, requires continuous data over extended periods of time.
Yes.
And you can't have people strapped to a gurney for days, right?
Plus, many of these readings also vary a lot depending on the activity that you do during the day.
Exactly.
So to get accurate readings, they cannot keep you in a hospital monitoring you while you do maybe in your workshop,
yeah.
or cut a piece of wood,
you're
for
walking
example.
Around with this huge umbilical cable, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Going out of the back.
And you're in a workshop with that. So this would make a huge, huge revolution and advance.
Yeah.
Because basically what you are seeing is such a fine, how can we say, like a
it's like a membrane.
A membrane, like those temporary tattoos that you get for children, basically.
In fact, they compare it with that.
Yeah.
That it's that kind of material, and it's actually printed on an inkjet printer, amazingly.
That's so cool. Because
a modified inkjet printer, obviously.
I would have figured.
Or else we would have tried it by now.
Yes. Full of signs all over the head. But actually, imagine that if you need monitoring, they just get the paper.
Stick it on
you.
Yeah.
You move around.
Yeah.
And it can also communicate wireless.
Yeah. That's
amazing.
Yeah. So the light, kind of brown, goldeny brown tab mm-hmm. is the actual data collection section.
Yes.
And the fascinating thing about the kind of membrane, the probe
yeah.
bit, the round section, is that it is so thin that human hair can grow through it.
Without affecting it.
It carries on working.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing.
I think it's fascinating, this. And these can be used for almost any kind of sensors.
And I presume, obviously, you could have more than one in place, couldn't you?
You
could have them. And presumably, the way it works is that they place them around the area where they know the signals are
mm-hmm.
that they're trying to get at.
For example, this golden area, which is where all data gets stored and so on.
Yeah.
Imagine the combination between this with the gel and maybe somebody that needs a set of instructions for or impulses
yeah.
in certain areas to make you become better. For example, like we were saying, somebody that is paralyzed.
Or like people who have severe migraines, right? They have these implants that detect the early onset of migraine signals before the person's even aware of it, and they actually deliver a little
exactly.
jolt.
Exactly, and then stops.
It doesn't
You're
happen.
Fine then.
Yeah. So you can imagine coupling, as you say, this technology
with the gel, for
with
example.
With something on the yeah. inside.
That would be fantastic because yeah. like this, you grow your hair back, will not affect the implant, nobody will see it,
yeah.
you can live a normal life
yeah.
or a better quality life.
Better quality, yeah.
Like, which is, in the end, I think, one of the most important things, to have
absolutely
better quality. of life. So.
And what they were speculating on, or commentators were speculating on, is that potentially you could see, and we kind of riffed on it a little bit before recording, that you could clearly see that it wouldn't be that difficult to make a connection from the data collection section of this patch to either a mobile phone app or something like a wearable, you know.
Yeah, exactly, like nowadays.
Not mention any particular product, there's plenty of them, but just a wearable. And you can just imagine the, you know, you could have real-time
monitoring and streaming of data. Yeah, of data.
And you go about your normal life. I mean, it's pretty, I mean, if you think about, you have your a future where you've got your gel-like electrodes somewhere monitoring a particular area with some biocompatible data gathering or relaying to that on the outside.
People with heart problems, for example. Yeah.
Then you've got real-time streaming to some diagnostic center that might have some medical AI that's been trained to spot early symptoms that can actually real-time interact with either what's in your head or this patient.
If we just gave you a business idea,
we need 2% off the top. It's fine.
yeah,
but we haven't got any money to invest, right?
We just came up with ideas.
Yeah, we just came up. We're just ideas people.
Yeah,
well, that's what we are. We're just underappreciated. we're constantly underwhelming. That's our problem. So what? I just feel both of these ideas, you know, like sometimes science fiction is called speculative fiction, and that you see what a lot of or some very good science fiction writers do is they take actual
research,
current research, and extend it into the future and imagine. Just like we were having a little riff now about what might you do with this technology in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah.
It's almost like you can see like the beginnings of something.
Yeah, for sure. I'm convinced that this is really, I believe, more interesting than the other one.
They're all kind of interesting.
Of course, but I think this is one step further.
Hmm.
In the sense that it's a bit more effective, it's organically compatible with your body, it's almost invisible, doesn't need any extra modifications to your body, basically.
Holes drilling in it.
Or holes drilling.
Which we instinctively don't like. We just don't like that idea.
No.
Our heads are sealed for a reason. Right?
Yeah. So let us know what do you think about the topic, especially how would you apply this new technology? What are your ideas on, you know, how can you use the gel for? What can you use this kind of new sensor ideas for? Mm. It would be interesting to read your comments and see, and maybe we can discuss them in a further episode.
Yeah.
And go through them.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's a general point here, which is that there's all this fantastic work going on that you never hear about.
You never hear about it, yeah.
And it's because a few individuals suck up all the attention. And it's disproportionate, I think.
For sure.
And there are people doing amazing, fantastic, potentially world-changing research and showing results, and we never hear about them, which is tragic.
Yeah.
That's my two penneth. Are we done?
That's why I didn't move.
Oh, that's why I didn't move. I'm going to not move now. Yeah, so that's quite interesting, but it's bananas, right?
Yeah, your mind goes bananas.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the episode Making Connections.
Yes. I think this is the future. Science fiction catching up.
Yeah.
Basically.
It sounds a bit science fiction.
More the other way around. modern day catching up with science fiction.
I suppose. But, yeah, it's worth seeking out these less known bits of research mm-hmm. because probably there's more future capacity in these less known things than there are in the big headline grabbing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. If you are maybe driving, you can just listen to the audio podcast. Or if you are in the audio podcast, don't forget to come
here. Or if you're watching
here.
This driving, stop doing that.
Please.
with your Apple... Oh, no, what's that headset? The Is it the Apple Reality...
Oh, the new glasses, the VR, augmented reality.
That pro thing. Who's making those? This is now going on.
Doesn't matter. That's another rabbit hole. So, my name is Rafael Ruiz.
I'm Carl Baldwin.
And see you next time.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.